Welcome to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer, producer of this program, and tonight I am co-hosting the program not only with one voice you are probably familiar with, but two. Morning Edition host Zach Bernard and All Things Considered host Araceli Gomez-Aldana are both in the studio tonight for our News Roundup 2017 edition. And we'll begin tonight with a topic of national, statewide, and local importance. In 2017, Fort Wayne exceeded its total number of drug poisonings and deaths from the previous year. The city saw more than 300 poisonings and 30 overdose deaths, 50 pending toxicology reports, from 2016 to 2017, making it the worst year on record in the city and nation's opioid crisis. WBOI's Zach Bernard has more on the status of Fort Wayne's fight against opioids, and how the police, court, and health systems are working to try and solve the problem.
We're still seeing fentanyl and heroin drug seizures. Fentanyl and carfentanyl, which are very serious.
Kevin Hunter is the captain of the Fort Wayne Police Department's Vice and Narcotics Division. Among some peers, he's earned the nickname Captain Sunshine. Hunter tries to stay optimistic on the job, as drug arrests and poisonings skyrocketed to projected record levels in Fort Wayne and Allen County in 2017. Between January and November, Fort Wayne has more than 1,100 poisonings on record, with December's totals yet to be tallied.
I would say that we're on pace to set a record as far as overdoses go this year.
According to Hunter, the lethal additive fentanyl has played a significant role in the increases. A small dose added to heroin can be fatal and usually requires a greater dosage of the overdose antidote naloxone to remedy. This impacts the supply of naloxone among first responders. This is just a small sample of the impact the opioid epidemic is having on Northeast Indiana, with the local police departments, court systems, and healthcare infrastructure all stretched thin as they not only try to address the current problem, but the ones that come up along the way. For Hunter's unit, opioids are no longer the only problem drug in the local ecosystem. They're also battling an increase in the psychoactive synthetic cannabinoid, Spice.
Spice became popular in 2013 when we first started seeing it in the gas stations. And then it's kind of morphed from that to being made in underground facilities, you know, people's basements, people's garages.
He says obtaining the Damiana leaf, which is used to create Spice, is cheap and legal to obtain, which is why it spreads so quickly locally. But he added that underground drug makers are adding lethal chemicals to the drug before selling it, leading to psychoactive effects and poisoning.
Some of the Spice out there isn't actually Spice at all. It's being sprayed with other things like bug killer, transmission fluid, antifreeze, and things like that.
Spice and fentanyl have added a strain on the police department's fight against opioids, but Hunter's staff isn't the only one that's overwhelmed. Allen County Judge Wendy Davis says 80% of her cases relate to drug arrests, which has exhausted her team over the last few years.
We don't even have enough judicial officer power to preside over these cases the way we need to. We work on the weekends, we go to conferences, our teams are constantly working to figure out how in the world we can continue to support all of these drug addicts that get caught in the criminal justice system.
Davis and Hunter have emphasized that the community will not be able to, quote, arrest its way out of this problem, end quote, noting the need for greater treatment options once addicts are detained. Allen County Health Commissioner Deb McMahon has been a leader in the local fight against what she calls the biggest public health crisis of our time. She says combating the problem is in its very early stages and requires involvement from every stakeholder.
What we're talking about is developing a completely new infrastructure that involves functional collaboration between entities that normally work by themselves: mental health, medicine, law enforcement, pharmacy, all of those folks.
But how do you change the public health infrastructure of the second largest city in Indiana? McMahon says treating addiction as a medical issue and not a criminal one is an important first step. That's where the Lutheran Foundation comes in. Marcia Hoff is the CEO of Fort Wayne's Lutheran Foundation, and she says treatment facilities in Fort Wayne and Northeast Indiana are severely lacking.
We don't have enough of what I'm going to call intensive beds, so that if somebody needs some really intensive services, maybe 30 days, even 28, 30 days, that the court can refer them to.
The lack of treatment options results in addicts being sent to prison, With drug poisoning and arrest numbers on the rise, jails are overcrowding. Hoff lobbied heavily in favor of Indiana Senate Bill 510. This measure would direct state money to Allen County for creation of a treatment facility, the sum of which would have to be matched by the county. While the goal would be to provide addicts an alternative direction other than prison, Hoff says it could benefit addicts that haven't been arrested, too.
We need sober living for those that are in the court system, but I think more importantly, we need sober living for people before they get into the court system. And we have a lack of those here as well.
Senate Bill 510 passed, but no appropriations were provided to Allen County for drug treatment. Instead, the bill was sent to the Department of Mental Health and Addiction, which was asked to review the bill and make recommendations back to the legislature. Hoff says she's still meeting with DMHA and remains hopeful the project can come to life. But how much could that cost the states?
We are shooting for $1.5 million or even more, and then we'll be looking for the local match, because if we don't match 1.5, we don't get 1.5.
The Lutheran Foundation also launched Look Up Indiana in 2015. It's a website dedicated to providing support and resources to individuals with mental or behavioral concerns. It features a live call and chat line and promotes more openness and acceptance of mental health issues. Fort Wayne and Allen County know treatment is expensive, but necessary. That's why both entities joined others around the state and country in filing lawsuits against drug companies for their alleged roles in the ongoing epidemic. Fort Wayne Mayor Tom Henry says if successful, the lawsuit could be a significant step in the city's capability towards fighting the problem.
We need an increase in treatment facilities and counselors and therapists. And that's where we run into a real dilemma because of access to capital in order to get our mission accomplished. And that's one of the reasons why we are now going after the pharmaceutical distributors.
Allen County will be targeting manufacturers in their suits. County Commissioner Nelson Peter says those entities, not taxpayers, should assume the financial burden of treatment and recovery.
There was a lot of alleged misrepresentation in terms of what the distributors and the manufacturers were telling the doctors with respect to the addictive parts of opioids.
Changing the infrastructure of an entire healthcare system begins with compassion. While McMahon and other stakeholders have embraced this, a completely overhauled infrastructure is still a long ways away, and McMahon warns her colleagues of falling into what she calls compassion fatigue. Health and law enforcement officials in the courts and police department will all admit their staffs have been stretched thin because of the drug epidemic. Hunter says the local drug problem will get worse before it gets better, noting Northeast Indiana is only in the early stages of finding the solution.
So this affects everybody in the community, and I think it's going to take some serious education and a few years down the road before we start seeing a turn in this tide.
Zach Bernard is in the studio with us now. Thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure.
For starters, you mentioned drug poisonings instead of saying overdose. What is the distinction between those two?
That's a change that some stakeholders in the opioid fight have been trying to make locally, and it started with an article that came out in the CBC back in around September, and I'll just read a quote from that. Poisoning is technically an accurate diagnostic term for what's happening inside the body. Meanwhile, the word overdose means to administer medicine in too large a dose, and that implies that a drug user knows what the dose is and chooses to take too much. That's by Jeremy Ellingham from CBC News. And the distinction there is essentially to say that, you know, if fentanyl is in the drugs that somebody is using, then that's not something that they're willingly putting into their body, because nobody willingly says, I'm going to put this lethal additive into my body. So that's sort of why they're drawing the distinction between an overdose, where somebody willingly administers that, versus a poisoning, where somebody took too much of something they weren't aware of, kind of like alcohol poisoning, if we want to equate that.
Absolutely. Now, what are the latest drug poisoning numbers we have for 2017?
I have the numbers from the Fort Wayne Police Department as recently as November 29th, so I don't have December's numbers just yet. We're still a couple days away from getting those. But in 2017, from January to November, we saw 1,130 poisonings. And if you're listening at home, that is a significant increase over 2016, where between January and November, we only saw 704. The increases really began last November in 2016, when we began seeing poisonings more in the 90s total instead of 50 to 60 throughout the course of a month. And then as we got into 2017, we were averaging roughly a little more than 100 poisonings per month. We peaked in July around 153 poisonings in just this past July. And then over the last few months, we've been just a few short of 100 on a month-by-month basis. So the numbers have definitely gone up from a year ago.
Looking at something specific within those numbers, if the poisonings don't always lead to deaths, but what is the death toll from drugs in 2017?
Right now we're at 94 deaths, and we had already surpassed the 2016 death toll back in September. So this is something that's just growing now at this point. And it's worth noting that with those 94 deaths that were reported, again, as of November 29th, 50 at that time were still pending toxicology reports. In fact, more than 50. So that's a death toll that even once we get the end of year numbers is still probably going to continue to rise as we get more information.
In your piece, you mentioned a lawsuit that Fort Wayne and Allen County have joined in. It's starting to sound like the makings of the people versus Big Pharma. Is that an accurate statement?
There was a conversation between Rebecca Green and myself when we were going into these numbers about how this is sort of similar to what happened with Big Tobacco. And it's interesting to see how widespread it has become, because Fort Wayne and Allen County were not the first to mention that they were filing lawsuits. Bloomington had already done it, and I believe at that point Lake County had already done it. So this is something that's not only happening in Indiana, but is happening across the country, where municipalities and counties are starting to learn, hey, we've spent a lot of money trying to fight this thing, and we're not even necessarily responsible for the problems that have happened. You know, people were oversubscribed or misled, allegedly, according to these lawsuits. And so that's what they're trying to get at the root of, is how can we sort of offset these costs? And as Mayor Tom Henry stated in the piece, those costs could go to building new treatment facilities and providing more treatment options, which, you know, you're never going to solve the problem, but it's a pretty big substantial step towards fixing it.
The summary of opioids and drugs in Northeast Indiana came to kind of a dark end with Captain Hunter saying it's going to get worse before it gets better. Do you think the region will start to make strides in bringing those numbers down?
I thought that we would in 2017, because I mentioned when we were talking about the poisoning numbers, it skyrocketed from 62 in October 2016 to 92 in November 2016. And that's sort of where we started to see things level to where they are now on a month-by-month basis. And, you know, when you see that huge spike, the first thought was, wow, we're going to start to, you know, really make strides because it can't get worse than this. Well, it did. And looking at July 2017, when we peaked at 153 poisonings for the month, we have not passed 100, and that's not counting December 2017, but we haven't passed 100 since. So you want to take that as an encouraging sign, but you don't know if the January 2018 or February 2018 numbers are going to say we saw 150 poisonings again, you know? So it's just, it's not an exact science, and unfortunately, there are no easy answers to say we're solving this and we're getting to the bottom of this. We have our solution, because it doesn't look like we're there yet.
Zach Bernard, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Ben.
We will speak again tonight, looking at some of the biggest statewide headlines from earlier this year. See you then. One of the biggest stories from 2017 centered around healthcare. There was a shakeup of sorts at Lutheran Health Network. Sherry Slater from the Journal Gazette covered the changes at Lutheran extensively, and she spoke with WBOI's Araceli Gomez Aldana. Araceli joins us now.
Good evening, Ben.
Good evening. So, Araceli, you interviewed Sherry Slater about the changes at Lutheran Health Network. Care to summarize events for our listeners?
Of course, but I think I'll let Sherry set it up.
At the end of 2016, a group of 10 physicians who live and work in Fort Wayne traveled to Nashville, Tennessee to meet with the board of directors of Community Health Systems.
Community Health Systems, or CHS, is the parent company of Lutheran Health Network. The doctors who traveled to Nashville wanted CHS to sell Lutheran Health Network to a local investor of the doctor's choosing. CHS told them to put together an offer, but this past spring, CHS announced that the $2.5 billion offer wasn't enough, and they also said they wouldn't entertain any further offers.
So why did the doctors want to buy Lutheran Health Network in the first place? Was CHS not working in their interests?
So over the years, whenever Lutheran Health Network would make a profit, it would go to CHS to meet the needs of the corporation. For employees of Lutheran Health Network, they felt that not only were they not getting their profits back, but they felt CHS wasn't listening to their needs in a variety of areas. Here's Sherry again.
When they requested supplies and new equipment and investments, there was too much red tape that they had to go through, too many levels of approvals with the corporate company.
So you combine what was already a somewhat tense relationship with CHS rejecting the offer to buy Lutheran Health Network, and then the firing of the network's CEO, Brian Bauer, and that's why we saw departures from the local board of advisors.
Yes, Chuck Surak, founder and CEO of Sweetwater Sound, and Tom Kelly of Kelly Automotive Group, both resigned from the board of advisors in July. Several physicians left Lutheran Health Network, and there was a rally held at the hospital in support of the staff. People spoke up. Several elected officials, including Mayor Tom Henry, spoke up in support of Lutheran, and even Parkview Health, Lutheran's local competitor, doesn't want to see Lutheran collapse.
But then after all of this, CHS announced plans to build a hospital. What is CHS planning for downtown Fort Wayne?
Community Health Services announced its plans to invest $500 million over the next 6 years to build a new hospital in the downtown area. It would replace St. Joseph Hospital. I asked Sherry Slater about that and got some of the details on what the hospital would look like.
100 beds, a full-service hospital with emergency room and burn unit. They want to break ground in 2018. And take about 2 years for construction.
CHS is still looking for a location downtown. At one time, they were considering the Rifkin property near Science Central. A final location has yet to be announced.
Now, where has former Lutheran Health Network CEO Brian Bauer been in all of this? I understand he's now with a different health service that may become a competitor?
Yes. CHS filed a lawsuit against Brian Bauer that accused him of sharing trade secrets with IU Health. IU Health has announced two things. They are bringing specialists from Riley's Children's Hospital to Fort Wayne. Riley is opening an office in Fort Wayne where patients can see different specialists without having to travel to Indianapolis. Separate from this, IU Health is also opening a primary care office.
Jeff Randolph, who was previously with Lutheran, will be in charge of that office. They're going to have capacity for, I believe it's up to 15 physicians there.
Sherry Slater went on to describe how hospitalization would work for patients at the primary care office. If a patient needed to be hospitalized, they would still be free to go to any hospital in the Lutheran or Parkview health system.
Thank you for the update on our regional health systems, Araceli. I know the news team here at WBOI will continue to follow developments in the healthcare shakeup as they unfold.
Absolutely.
During our next segment, Araceli Gomez-Aldana will speak with Martin Fisher from Science Central, and Julia Meek and I will discuss some of the biggest arts and culture stories from 2017. Stay with us.